the less judgment I have about whatever, whether it's my activity, someone else's activity, like the more that I can appreciate and enjoy what it is. Without the judgment, there's just sensation. And do I like this sensation? Do I like this scenario?
Welcome to Wild and Sublime, a sexy spin on infotainment, no matter your preferences, orientation, or relationship style. Based on the popular Live Chicago show, I chat about sex and relationships with citizens from the world of sex positivity. You'll hear meaningful conversations, dialogues that go deeper, and information that can help you become more free in your sexual expression. I'm sex educator and intimacy coach, Karen Yates. In this eavesdropping episode, I have an impromptu conversation with sex coach Tazima Paris about kink and the old misconceptions we once had. Keep listening. Feel like getting more wild and sublime? I certainly hope so. Do you know when you join our Patreon program, you can participate in monthly Q&As with experts, hear my audio notes, as well as receive discounts on our merchandise and live shows? Plus, you find out first about show dates and more. And by joining, you become an integral part of our team, helping us with the expenses of running the show and spreading the sunny message of sex positivity around the world. Check out our program. The link is in the show notes or go to patreon.com/wildandsublime. Hey folks, cranking back into podcast operations since we began the new season has been a challenge, I tell you. And I'm watching myself and realizing, hey, enough with the crazy overwork. Crazy overwork is not good. It is pretty hard on the body and quality of life. But I have been noticing this and also making changes, moving toward pleasure and relaxation every day as I am able. Because what I am realizing is that work and pleasure and relaxation, these concepts, they are not mutually exclusive. And guess what? I am feeling pretty good now as I orient toward relaxing and feeling into my body as I work. So that is my thought for the day. Stop punishing yourself. Unless you want to, which leads me to our conversation today. Pretty good transition, huh? The following eavesdropping episode, where a guest comes on and asks me a question without my prior knowledge, was recorded last fall, but it's only now that I was able to put it in the lineup. Sex coach Tazima Paris, who has been with Wild and Sublime since the second live show in 2018, has been a fixture on the show, and I love talking with her. In this conversation, we get completely silly, as you will hear, but also cover a lot of ground about kink and the attitudes and assumptions we had about it prior to our sex positive enlightenment, as it were. Enjoy. Welcome to Tazima Paris.
Hello, Karen Yates. Thank you for having me today.
I'm really excited about this. So, Tazima, what's on your mind?
It's a two-parter.
Okay. So, oh God.
You know I would bring it. Come on.
I know.
So a couple things have come up in my world recently, and that is the two parts of BDSM that are on my task list of my adventures in sex coaching / sexy world. Yeah, it's BDSM, misconceptions around BDSM, and healing through BDSM, like BDSM for healing. So your thoughts on sort of the misconceptions first, because I hear a lot of stuff coming at me like, oh, it's supposed to be this or it's supposed to be that. So your thoughts on the misconception.
Oh my God, I love that question because I can talk about my own journey here. For me, it certainly has been a take what you like and leave the rest. And that's been the big thing. I think the first misconception I had, oh my gosh, like you're weird.
There's something wrong with you.
I mean, no, I'm just totally going to put it straight on the table. This is like, you're weird. Like there's something off. Something's off. Something's wrong.
Yes. Emphasis on the weird and there's something wrong with the people. Because I had my own misconceptions of there's something weird, something wrong. Specifically, there's something wrong with the people who participate. That was my own misconception. And, you know, wrong, right is so black and white, so binary, so not creating any space for any other possibilities. And then several years ago, this was probably like a little bit as I was first starting to explore kink, I came across like an old ass study, like an old like survey or something that happened like in the 50s. And they asked the question, you can tell how dated it is because the question was something like, how often do you have or do you have abnormal sexual thoughts? Or are you attracted to abnormal sexual activities? And do you know 70% of the respondents said yes? And I was just like, by the way, like you're not a sexual minority if 70% of the people are also thinking, quote unquote, abnormal. So I'm just like, what? And this was the 50s. I mean, I don't have any... Personally, I don't have any like romantic feelings about a purer time of the 50s. Like, I am aware that that was all BS. It was total bullshit. There was never a pure time ever with humans, period. Like, there were just times when we did different things and there were societies that decided this is okay and this is not okay. So yeah, that always struck me and that struck me and it sticks in my mind as like, no, there are the vast majority of people. That's a C, by the way, if you were graded. Like, that's a C. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't get an F for kinky. We got at least a C for kinky over the whole population that they checked out. And I mean, I feel like it's just a normal thing to have kind of non-standard, non-societally sanctioned thoughts and fantasies. I just think it's normal to do that. Like,
yeah. Well, and then that comes to the next misconception I had, which I thought all kink was BDSM. I thought that was the sum total. If you were not into bondage, discipline, or sadism or masochism, you were not kinky. And this gets into, I think, the next part, which is, I think things that I think are not kinky, some people, you know, it's like, what is kink? Right? Like some people think group sex is kinky. I'm like, well, it's just a bunch of people having sex together. Is that kinky?
It's just more of the same.
Right.
It's just
multiplied.
More.
If some is good, more is better.
Are you going to KFC and buying the bucket or just the little box? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So more thighs for everyone.
So it's like, yeah. So like, what is, and you know, it was so funny because one of my mentors said, for some people, like edge play is having sex with the lights on, you know? And so like for you in your explorations, did you have that same misconception that like it was BDSM or nothing or like anything else?
I don't think I knew enough about it before I kind of got introduced to the community. Like I knew there were people who dressed up. I knew that there were activities that people were doing that I would never do, which, you know, we know how that goes. I appreciate when I was introduced to the community, the like, don't yuck anyone else's yum, you know, what I'm into, you know, my kink may not be your kink, but like, it's cool. So pretty fairly early on, I was there with it. Yeah. I didn't even know all the letters or like, you know, or what everything stood for, what the names of different things were. But as a sort of scientist researcher, my scientist researcher nature was like, oh, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And I'm like researching all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, got it. And with the backdrop of don't yuck anyone else's yum, I was like, okay, I don't want to watch that. Or I don't want to look at that. Or I don't want to participate in that. Or, okay, this one seems like it might be okay for me, but like, let me check it out. Like there was a lot of shruggy shoulders, like maybe possibility more than anything else. I won't call it a blank slate. I definitely had judgments coming in at first. And then the people that exposed me to this world, and they were very positive about everything. And they held space for whatever other people were into, even if they weren't into it. So I had a good model for the folks who I first met in the scene.
I want to get back to the evolution or the development. I won't say evolution. I'm going to say the development of kinkiness? Because I always go back to some of the questions in OkCupid, because I think they're so indicative of the zeitgeist, which is one of the questions is, have your interests, sexual interests gotten kinkier as you've gotten older? Yes, no. Of course, they only allow you yes, no, which is ludicrous.
Yes, no.
Yes, no. Yes, no. So let me ask you, have they?
Yeah.
Let's check.
I mean, fucking absolutely. And let me say this, because it's not, there's no such thing as a kinky race. There's no such thing as like, oh, the kinky awards. I mean, yes, there are contests and performers and like all this stuff, but like, there's no barometer for like how kinky you are, like kink meter. There's no kink meter. This is a very individual thing. And everyone has their own spectrum of what their own personal potential is. So while, yes, my life has gotten kinkier as the years have passed, it's also, there's not a goal for me. The more I feel open to express myself, the more that manifests in something that is truer and more pleasurable for me. And sometimes I try something and it's not pleasurable. So like, nope, not this time. Like maybe I'll try it again in the future, but like right now, that's not interesting at all to me. Like for example, electrostim, a friend of mine was doing a demo at a party, BDSM kink demo. And she had like she had her toys and, you know, it was great. Like a whole big old bag and stuff. And like, it was great. And she had an electrostim tool and I had watched her do a scene with another person. And this person was like, with the electro stim was all like, ooh, 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 ooh. Like, and it was really exciting to watch. Like the person went into subspace, which means the endorphins and all the lovely chemicals came up so high that like, they're kind of high with the stimulation. And it was beautiful to watch. And I appreciated seeing that. And then I was like, okay, like they completed. And I was like, okay, try, just give me a little something right here, right on my arm. Let's just see it. Okay, what? No. I don't like it. There's nothing about that. I don't like that stimulation. I don't like that sensation. I know.
It's like, I look at that and I'm like, oh, no way. Yeah, no. But then here's the other thing. Like I was given a tour of GD2 here in Chicago. Yes. And there was this like,
beautiful space. Oh my gosh,
so beautiful. And off in the corners of a person I knew was getting, you know, fire stimulated. Now, if you told me prior fire, I'd been like, okay, fire's cool. I'm a pyro. Sure. But this idea of like not knowing what it was, I'm like, wait, does someone like set you up? Like no clue. But then I saw it done and I was like, oh my God, that looks so flipping cool.
I have a question.
What?
I have a question about Firefly.
I didn't do it, but I saw it.
Okay.
So what's your question?
My question
feels
is,
it feels like we're in sixth grade.
I know, right?
What did you see?
I've seen it done before. Okay. But like one thing that comes up in my mind is like all them little body hairs along the place. Cause I also know some fire spinner people as well. And like, you know, there's a whole thing about the clothes they have to wear and like their facial hair and their hair, head hair and all this stuff, body hair. And I'm always like, does it singe off your body hair? Like in the places where it's close,
like your poops. Pubes. I just said pubes.
Pubes.
Like your pubes.
We're definitely in sixth grade. We're totally in sixth grade. So awkward.
Like your pubes.
Oops. Pubes? What are they?
Your coochie. That's my favorite word, coochie.
Coochie.
I think I was talking to my friend afterwards and I think there is singeing that occurs, but I don't know about the pubes, but like,
yeah. No, pubes are tough stuff. You know,
they're very tough.
They are built for the long haul.
And if there's a fire person out there who's like rolling their eyes at our naivete, contact me.
Let us know.
But
let us know what's up.
But like this idea of what I have seen happen to me over the years is I just have become so much more like you. What I heard you say is kind of a more of a neutrality. Like
things that used to like flip me out because I was coming from this place of there's something wrong with you if you like this is no longer that, because suddenly one day it was like, oh, people are doing this because they like it and their nervous system likes it. And this is a preference. And
Is
it really that simple?
And it's so good. And I think also the other piece for me that is really real about these experiences is dropping the judgment about it increases enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
The less judgment I have about whatever, whether it's my activity, someone else's activity, like the more that I can appreciate and enjoy what it is for the people participating, if I'm watching, or for me, if I'm participating in it. Like without the judgment, there's just sensation. And do I like this sensation? Mm. Do I like this scenario? And when I drop the question, why? Who gives a shit why? Like, then I'm not in my head. If I'm not like, oh, why do I like this? I don't give a shit. I know I do. Or, you know, a partner likes this. Oh, wow. Okay, great. Am I into it? Do I want to participate with them in the thing? Like, it doesn't matter. So why and the judgment, those two, if we can put those two pieces on the side, like, then it's just sensation. And then I can be like, am I participating or do I not want to participate? And then it's a yes, no.
Yeah. I like what you're saying here about the judgment, because it's like, you know, Peter Makes Things Happen, who's on the show a lot, always talks about stop asking yourself why. But I like the fact you're adding this piece of the judgment, because that's when we start getting into judgment of self or judgment of others, we're starting to get so oppositional. This energy of opposition starts building. And so let's say you're someone who really wants to be beaten, and this is like a recurring fantasy for you to have so much shame and judgment about it. It drives it deeper. And it's sad because there's a lot of people out there like that who have a particular kink that's not so unusual. Like you said, 70% of the other people on the planet have the same damn kink. And it's, but this self-hatred that starts getting generated can be so problematic. And I love you just saying like, if I stop judging myself, do I just like this thing that is happening to me?
Is the stimulation or the sensation that I'm feeling, is this pleasurable? Do I want more of it? Do I want to keep it at the same? Do I want to change something about it? Is this angle right? Is the pressure right? Is the sensation, is the temperature right? Like, what would feel better? And I think I'll speak for myself. When I follow the sensation that is most pleasurable in the moment, which changes, by the way, it totally the beginning of a session, you know, where I'm with someone, to the middle, to the end, to the aftercare, which is what you do after you're done doing some BDSM activities, you do the aftercare. Like, there are different things that feel different at different times. And if I can stay present to that, then I'm having more enjoyment, because sensation is enjoyable. Even the things that are uncomfortable, recognizing, oh, that's uncomfortable right now. Like, I think I want to keep it. I don't know. Like, there's all this, like, maybe I want to keep the discomfort that's happening right now. Like, and if I don't judge the discomfort and it's safe for me and it's safe for my body, I'm not, you know, I'm conscious about what's happening. Like, if all of those things are present, then my enjoyment of whatever the stimulation is, whatever the sensation is, increases. It's really, I found that there's like basically no limit to the amount of enjoyment that can be had. Like, I've tested personally, like, I don't think there's a limit. Too much is a judgment, you know?
I would 100% agree about that. Too much pleasure is a judgment. It's like a ceiling.
It's a judgment.
You're creating a ceiling on your pleasure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to keep going back to this idea of things that are kinky. You know, I had Lois Lane on the show a while back about erotic hypnosis. Now, that is considered pretty kinky, but you don't have to be doing anything kinky within the hypnosis. You know what I mean? I guess that maybe the theme of this is, what does, is kinky even kinky? Should we take kink off the table?
Right. I mean,
will there be a day when there is no more kink?
Yeah. And sometimes there are times and situations where people use kink as a judgment. Like, kinky can be a judgment in and of itself.
Oh, right. Like, you're kinky.
It's other,
you know,
it's othering. whatever that activity is. Mm-hmm. And again, when 70% of the people in the 50s had this, I wish I knew that. Maybe I'll find it again. But if there are a lot of people, like, is it really kinky? And that's a question. Is kinky a judgment? So yeah, it's really interesting. I would love for there to be a time when you don't ever have to say the word kinky. Like, that would be great.
Yeah, I would agree, because then it doesn't have to be this revelation, like, I really want you to, you wouldn't have those kind of conversations anymore, right? It would be a little more on the board. This is what I like, you know?
Yeah. Here's what's up. Are you into it? Let's negotiate. If you're not into it, cool. I'll find someone who is actually into it. And then you can carry on and find someone who's really, really into it.
Right. Right. This also reminds me of, getting back to my very first misconception, which is there's something wrong with you, which is still held by members of the therapeutic community. Like, there's something wrong with you if you're kinky. And so I remember Carrie Jameson was on the show talking about kink affirming therapists and how, like, you have to be really look, if you're going to be wanting to get into therapy and you really want to be talking about your whole life, not just like, I don't know, your mother and you're kinky. Or sexually, you're expansive. Yeah. I like to say sexually expansive. Yeah. You got to be finding folks that are going to be like on board with you and not thinking that you're a weirdo, that there's something problematic in your past.
But if you call yourself a marriage and family therapist and you don't talk about sex, there is a problem. When people come to me and they say, well, we had a couples counselor and they didn't talk about sex, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what's happening? So I understand that we're all made differently. So I'm the sex person. I'm happy to talk about sex. So you can talk to someone else about the, your history and like all the, stuff. You can talk to someone else. But if you want to be turned on, talk to me.
Because I mean, I do know some therapists who are like, you'd be shocked at how few clients bring up their sex life. And so it's like, if you're a therapist who's letting the client guide you, then, and the client's never bringing up sex. Yeah. Like, I think with my therapist, suddenly I was just like, so let me tell you about this. And I could just see on his face, he's like, oh my God, she's going for it. Yes, we're going to be talking about, like, and I'll still bring up stuff and I just see it in his face. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's listening to this and he'll be laughing. Yeah. Just like, oh wow, she's talking about this. Like, yes.
Good on you.
Yes.
Good on you.
Yeah. Good on you. Good on you. Good on you. For sure.
I'll return to my conversation with Tazima Paris in a moment. Wild and Sublime is supported in part by our Sublime supporter, Full Color Life Therapy. Therapy for all of you at fullcolorlifetherapy.com. In the next part of our chat, Tazima and I talk about healing through kink and how kink can inform vanilla sex practices. Have a listen.
So what was your second, did you have a second part or have we moved into a second part? You said there was a two-parter.
Healing. Yeah. I think this is the part where we talk about BDSM for healing. It's great. Cause maybe for some people, maybe there was something quote unquote wrong where maybe they are wanting to rewrite a story, a narrative.
Yeah. I would love to talk with you about this because healing, the sexual healing that I have encountered personally has been more around like tantra and energy, sexual energy healing. And, I went into depth about this one encounter I had at tantra school with a couple who basically like we went way back to childhood and it was like turned out to be the most astonishingly, one of the most profound healing experiences I've ever had in my life. But I haven't had the same experience like in a kink context, but I do know many people who have and who have rewritten scripts. And I would love for you to like, have you personally had that happen for yourself?
I would say, I wouldn't call it healing. I would call it being able to reconcile something specific. So I had an experience where, so my nature, my personal nature is fairly gentle, as bold and, as big as my personality is. I'm really nice and I'm really gentle and I want to love on people. And like, so causing someone pain intentionally was a big barrier for me. Like some people want to be hurt and I didn't, I mean, I like some pain on a certain level, like spanking, yay. But like, we're only going to go so far with spanking. There, it's not going to draw blood. It's not, you know, and I prefer spanking on my butt. It's not my face. It's not an insult or whatever, you know? So I had this like kind of wall slash ceiling on what level of pain I could deliver to someone, because I had this whole thing about like, don't hurt anyone. Not necessarily people pleaser, but definitely like be kind so that I am not the cause of someone else's pain. Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of kind of emotional responsibility, and I keep my emotions, I hold my emotions and my experiences responsibly, generally speaking. Every now and then, you know, I'm still human, but I work really hard at that. So I had a specific instance where I had become really angry about a bunch of things that had happened, and I had an opportunity to slap someone, and this person was game into it, and they wanted it. They agreed.
Did they request it or did you request it?
I requested it because it was something that mm-hmm. I thought about wanting to do. It was one of those mm-hmm. like kinky things, you know, quote unquote kinky things, like smack me, like I'm gonna slap you, like slapping is kinky. Is it really kinky? But for me, someone who doesn't want to cause anyone pain, it's super fucking kinky. Like it's super edgy, and I like, my face is sacred. Do not hit my face. Do not hit anywhere. Really, don't hit anywhere. Don't hit me anywhere except my butt. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like. And I didn't, when I was young, I wasn't disciplined by a slap in the face. Some people got slapped in the face. Like that to me is just the ultimate disrespect. You know, that was my framework.
Yeah.
And so I have this opportunity. This person is into it. They're game. They want to. So we do a couple of test runs. They're like, okay, is that okay? Like that, that was my, is that okay? Like they haven't even really felt it yet, but I'm like,
it's a brush of the fingers on the face. Like, I'm so sorry. Ah.
So I'm calibrating. Right. So we do a couple more and then they're like, you can go for it. And I was like, okay, here we go. Cause I also had to aim. Cause you know, it's not something I do. I don't know where my arm is. Like I don't have any spatial awareness.
Right. And then and then, you know, as a former actor, I'm thinking about the face slaps that have to happen on stage. And like, you can take some really fuck up someone's jaw. If you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Really fuck it up. Yeah.
It can be bad. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So one thing that I did, and I've done a lot of emotional work to express fully emotionally. So not just, oh, yay, I'm happy, but like, I'm really fucking pissed. And so I allowed the I'm really fucking pissed to sort of, this is the experience that I had. I let the anger of XYZ mm-hmm. situations fill my body up. There was this like, of like anger. And then I allowed my arm to deliver the anger through this slap. So it like, it felt almost like the arm is filling up with the anger and I'm just distributing it across this person's face. And then to see their face just like swing. And I was like, wow! I didn't climax just because of that, but like it was climactic. And for it to be that good, I was like, damn, like I get it on a cellular level. Like, and then the face, like I was like, and then the person gave me feedback and was like, that was good, but not too much harder than that. I also said, how dare you?
You got to set it up.
That was
right?
Very hot for me. That was, how dare you?
So is this the new kink? Is this now been rolled into your repertoire?
I think it is. One thing I'm working toward is like a backhand slap. Like, but I need to get technique because bones, you know, and that's why I'm not interested in punching anyone.
That's a very Joan Crawford move, I think. Like.
Or like a glove or whatever.
The glove. The glove.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably a glove would be really great. Get a good, I mean, and then I would, okay, so this, okay, I'm getting some ideas now. So
long
maybe
leather gloves.
Long leather gloves,
that, but also snap. That would have a snap to it.
Kitchen rubber gloves could also be really hot because they have a certain heft to them, or like I could get that.
That's a mommy thing. That's like a mommy
heavy
fantasy.
Or a heavy duty, like, you know, those ones that like you can really deal with like heavy stuff, you know, they have those really heavy ones, or like an oven mitt. Like I have these silicone oven mitts. Yeah, I have silicone oven mitts.
I don't have a response. I'm tracking with you here. I'm like, right. Silicone. Yeah, it's right. Like,
exactly.
But someone else might be silicone.
But they're
very heavy.
They're heavy.
They're thuddy. That, like, they're thuddy heavy.
They're very thuddy. So even in this moment, I've never thought of that, but like potentially that could be a thing, and I can find someone who might be into it, you know, to potentially experience that. But that's live, like how this stuff and the sensations emerge. I've had this one experience that I was reluctant to do because I had my own judgments about it, but I have a willing participant. We do the thing. I have an experience, and now it's opening up into, oh, what about this? What about that? And then I get curious, and it feels like my creativity is flowing, and that's just, whew, like so good.
Yeah, I this is really interesting you're bringing this up, because I was talking with Peter in the first eavesdropping episode about a sexual role play. And it's this idea of what really interests me is doorways opening, right? Because of taking action, right? And so that's what I'm hearing you say. Yeah. And this idea of like, and just around exploration of kink. So you tried this whole slapping thing. So now this is opening up like a fantasy with the gloves and the kitchen maybe. And yeah. And who knows, but you don't know. You're just going to keep going with it. So with your clients, are you still working primarily with like cisgendered female folks?
I am.
That's
my primary focus.
Mm-hmm. So like, do you help introduce kink to folks as a coach?
I'm not introducing like, you should do spanking. Like, you may not be into that.
Right.
What I do introduce from BDSM, from the community, from kink, is scenes, containers, negotiations, and your yes, no, maybes. Those are things that I bring to cishet people who wouldn't, in their quote unquote normal life, be exposed to these aspects, so that you can create a safe space to explore. But there's this entrenched script of what's supposed to happen between heterosexual people. Do everything you can to get the penis and vagina, and the penis got to be super hard, and the vagina has to be like super wet, and the female needs to be like panting and like ready to come at any moment. I need to help these women like create a boundary of safety, like a container. That's what I call the container of, we are going to have some sexual activity during this time. It sounds nerdy and like contrived, but when you set it up, just like you say, okay, I'm going to set up Friday night. Friday night is date time for me and X person or whatever, or I'm going to go to the spa. We make time slots for everything else in our life. We have appointments for everything else, but somehow there shouldn't be any discussion or negotiation about when and what we're going to do. No, you decide where you're going to eat. You decide where you're going to go, what movie, what entertainment. This is part of things that could be entertaining. So why not plan it? So the container is this specific time for this amount of time. And these are the things we're going to do. And when the time is done, then we will do other things, or we will close the container. So that is just that. I also talk about communication before, during, and after. So there are things that you set up before you enter sex, and there are things that happen during sex, simpler the better. And then you can review and give feedback after, like wait till after.
Yeah, rolling out of the, not in the bed.
No.
You know what I mean?
Put some clothes on, like sleep on it. Talk about it over breakfast or whatever.
Well, what I think is interesting about what you're saying is this is like a revelation, I think, for a lot of folks, but this is like so necessary. Mm-hmm. And there's, for some people, and I certainly would have been one of those people years ago, this is already moving into threatening territory. you know, because of like, wait, what you mean? Like I, number one, have to assert myself. And number two, have to know,
know where I'm at, like now. Yeah.
And something like something set up maybe yesterday is maybe not going to be the same thing today. Maybe I'm going to be in a completely different headspace. And so like, I also feel like I want to say to people, look, it's enough. It's enough. If all you can say is, I'm feeling really tired today. Can we just cuddle for this 45 minute period?
Yeah.
Like, I know we were talking yesterday about like banging, like serious banging, but like today, yeah. I just want to like cuddle and maybe kiss.
Yeah.
How does that sound to you?
Exactly.
Like that's enough.
Yeah. That's plenty.
To start that kind of communication.
Yeah. And that's a no. That's where you found a no. And there's a negotiation. It's not just, no, we're not going to bang from the, you know, ceiling tonight. It's not just a regular no. It's like, I want contact with you and I value the opportunity that we have enough for me to make this something that works for me. And that's what's in that, that wasn't said. Like, I value what is possible, but these are the parameters that I need right now. And that's caring enough about the activity, honoring the space that was agreed to, and honoring yourself. Like, you don't have to take one for the team. Like, no one ever has to take one for the team.
Ever.
Don't do it.
Like, why?
It doesn't pay.
It does. Taking one for the team so does not work. It so does not work.
All it's going to get you is resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of resentment.
So fuck that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you need right now? And being able to be with what one needs in any moment is a skill that needs to be developed. That's a skill.
Yeah, I would agree, because you can set a boundary and say, you know, I don't want to bang today. I just want to cuddle. But if you know yourself well enough and you're tracking well enough, sometimes the cuddling can lead to banging. And you're not taking one for the team if you are 100% with yourself. That's where the nuance starts developing. But it comes with relating to self, not relating to your partner. Relating to yourself first and foremost.
Yeah, I love that. And the more that we know what's happening moment to moment, again, skill, this is a skill that needs to be developed. The majority of the content of what I talk about during sex coaching sessions or classes or workshops or whatever I'm teaching is not even about the sex. It's about everything around the sex that makes it possible for the sex to happen. If you don't get that stuff, I can give you all the party tricks. There are mad party tricks.
Oh my God.
You can do party tricks all day long.
Oh my God. Yes.
If doing party tricks is going to fuck you up for the long term, I'm not interested in teaching you anything that's going to make you more resentful or is not going to bring satisfaction to you. Like, I'm most interested in you being the best, most clear version of themselves so that they can be the best, most expressive version of themselves so that they can have the most beneficial sensation that works for their body. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah. That's the bottom line. You got to know yourself. Yeah. You got to know yourself.
Period. There's nothing else.
No,
there's nothing else.
And I think there's something to be said for just people need permission. Like, a lot of times people just need permission to want what they want or to be what they are. And that's what I keep seeing over and over again.
For sure.
I am so glad you came on.
It's my pleasure.
To find out more about Tazima Paris, go to our show notes or her site, infiniterelating.com. Are you looking to improve erotic communication with your partner? I work with couples in Chicago, helping them increase pleasure, learn how to express desires, and become more connected. All of this through dynamic, body-centered sessions. Go to the show notes or Karen-Yates to schedule your free consultation with me. Well, that's it, folks. Have a very pleasurable week. Next week, a bonus episode. Panelists discuss humor in bed. Don't miss it. Thank you for listening. If you know someone who might be interested in this episode, send it to them. Do you like what you heard? Then give us a nice review on your podcast app. You can follow us on social media at Wild and Sublime and sign up for newsletters at wildandsublime.com. I'd like to thank associate producer Julia Williams and design guru Jean-Francois Gervais. Theme music by David Ben Porat. This episode was edited by the Creative Imposter Studios. Our media sponsor is Rebellious Magazine, Feminist Media, at rebelliousmagazine.com.